been having a lot of internet issues the last 2 days, and I remembered to record. I hold it in my hand. You ever hold something, forget it? Been looking for something that's in your hand? Exodus chapter 9. I want to look at this seventh plague. Exodus chapter 9. This is the plague of hail and fire. This is a true story. Do you know that? There's people in this world that say, well, this is just an allegory, or this is something that somebody wrote down to teach us. This happened. This happened. And the Lord's reserved 23 verses here, and it's for something. Do you know what it's for? He told us what it's for. He said it's for our profit, it's for doctrine, it's for reproof, it's for correction, and instruction in righteousness. He's going to teach us those things out of these verses. We'll see here, Exodus 9, we'll begin in verse 13. We'll see the will of the potentate. This is God's will in these first few verses. And he's going to be exalted, and his people are going to come out, and all of his enemies are going to be stopped. He's going to say it, and then he's going to do it. Look here in verse 13. Exodus 9, 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go. Why? When they have freedom, we want freedom, don't we? Freedom ain't free. When we have freedom, we're going to be let go out of Egypt. What are we going to do? That they may serve me. These are my servants, and they're going to do what their name says. They're going to serve me. They're going to worship me. Verse 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people. Why would he do that? That thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand and I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up. This is the whole reason I raised you up, Pharaoh, for to show in thee my power. That my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Isn't that true for absolutely every human being that's been born? Believer or unbeliever. Why are we here on this earth? What's the purpose of life? God's raised us up. He's given us carnal life, this world that we're in, to show his power. And that his namesake, that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, may be declared throughout all earth, all time, all eternity, the whole universe. Why are we here? For the glory of Christ. All people, saved and unsaved. Not Pharaoh. Verse 17. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, but thou wilt not let them go. So why all this? We had six plagues, and you still in exalting yourself against my people. He didn't say against me, but that's who it was, wasn't it? You've taken it out on my people. These are my anointed, and you're touching them. And that's the same as taking it out on Christ. He said, when the Lord said, I'm going to come and give account, and you're going to say, he's going to say, thank you for feeding me when I was hungry, and you come visit me in prison and all these things. And they said, Lord, when did we see you as a stranger and took you in? Or when was you naked and we clothed you? Or when we saw you sick or in prison, we came. We haven't done these things. And the king shall answer and say to them, verily I say, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least one of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Lord's declaring he has a people, and he's declaring he's one with that people in this verse right here. And he said, you went against them, my people, now you're going against me. That's a serious thing, isn't it? You better bring two or three witnesses if you're going to go against one of the preachers of God, one of the elders of God. Go against Moses. And they got a six-plague track record already. That's foolish. Saul of Tarsus, he wreaked havoc on the church. We just looked at that. For the Lord's purpose, so that there's some Samaritans going to be saved and some Judeans going to be saved, and we're out here in the uttermost parts, and California, God's going to save some people. We did it on purpose. But the first thing the Lord said to him whenever he was surrounded and blinded by light, he'd never been in light like that. He blinded him by the light. And the Lord said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, I thought he was persecuting the people. He was, and that's persecuting Christ. They're one and the same. They're unified. That's his fingers. That's his toes. That's his nose. His tongue. They're one. There's unity. The head and the body are one. And here's the warning of judgment. This is so gracious. Like I said, the third, the sixth, and the ninth plague, there's no warning. And what a warning that is to us. God doesn't owe us a warning. People don't like being warned, do they? Don't look over that edge. I had no interest in looking over the edge until you told me not to. Right? I hate heights. I found a picture this week. I took it, Yellowstone, Yosemite, whichever one's here. And I stuck my phone out over the edge. Like that. And I saw that picture, and I took it, and I went, my hands started sweating. God's warned. We don't like to be warned. That's carnal. That's natural man gets a warning and don't like it. I'm warning you. Hate it. There's a new creation and it will. Here's the warning of judgment. Behold, verse 18, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, as such hath not been seen in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. A great hail and fire is going to come. He's warning them. He didn't say right now, too late. He said tomorrow. There's time. There's time. And this is foreshadowing. This carnally, this physically took place on this earth. But this is foreshadowing a spiritual storm brewing. Okay, all these famines, what is that? We know that out of Amos. It's a famine of the Word of God. He's going to dry it up. And this judgment, we see these judgments of the Lord here. Everybody in this room is going to die. We're all going to meet God one day. And we're getting warned. Isn't that gracious? Isn't that wonderful? It's what that seventh veil poured out in Revelation 16. It says, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Where did the hail come? Same place this stuff come, out of heaven. And every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. They blasphemed God. Why is he? They said, oh God, oh my God, OMG. They blasphemed God's name. Crying out to him out of frustration instead of crying out to him for mercy. And this hail, they say in Revelation 16, it's a talent. And I've heard it's 60 pounds and it's 115 pounds. It's big. You've seen like marble-sized hail could ruin a vehicle, right? Down in Texas or Nebraska, they had softball-sized hail. It ruined crops and killed some cows. You better get inside of that. At least, could you imagine a kettlebell coming out of the sky? A 60-pound or 100-pound or whatever, it's big enough to take your head off. That's what's coming. For Egypt, this had lightning in it, and a lot of it. So much so that lightning came down and run across the ground. I've seen lightning hit one place and it catch on fire somewhere else, at the roots of the trees or whatever, it'll run across the ground. Physically, this thunder hail. I don't know if any of y'all have ever experienced thunder snow. If you're in a snowstorm, as soon as it starts snowing, I got to find some reason to go to the store. I'm going to go do donuts in the parking lot. There ain't nobody else supposed to be out there. I love it. That's why I push snow, and then I go play right before I push the parking lot and clean it off. I go do some donuts. I'm still a kid at heart, you know. But I love playing in snow. And there'd be big thunderstorm, big snowstorm. Snow would come, and it's frozen water, right? Little tiny pieces of hail. It's pretty. But we'd push it out and all those things. Make good money doing it. But there's times it snowed and it started lightning and thundering, I didn't go out and play. Why? You ain't making it home. You're going to get stuck. It'll snow a foot in an hour, you know. It's exceeding. It's exceeding great. Exceeding great. Look what a gracious warning there. Verse 18, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, which hath not been seen in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. There's time. Judgment's coming. There's time. You're alive. There's breath in the lungs. There's still time. Verse 19. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He's saying, get home. Come out from him. The child of God. You and everything you care for, gather it up right now and get in that ark. Go get in the house of God. Go get in Christ. Abide in him and live there. You're going to die. Is that message any different than the ark? Noah's ark. It's rain's coming. There's judgment from heaven coming. Get in that ark, you're going to die. Now, there may have been 2,000 people that said, we agree that that's an ark. We agree there ain't no other ark but that ark. And that's a nice ark. And we don't really know what rain is, but we agree rain's coming. And they did not get in the ark. Only 8 people did. It's not just one to admire the ark. It's one to be in the ark. I won't be in it. You? I don't want to be out in the field. Working and playing and doing whatever you do in the field. I want to be in the house. His house. God brings his people out. And he gathers them together in little houses all around this world. He brought you out from outside. You ain't in the field. We're inside a building. And you're brought in here. That's physically what took place. Spiritually, the water, that's the word of God. That's the word of God. You can read that in Deuteronomy and several other places. He said, I send my word out. It's like rain. And Paul said, I watered. But that rain comes. And it'll either soften the hard ground for planting. That's the best time to dig up a garden after it rains. It's soft, isn't it? It'll nourish the crops. It'll satisfy thirsty men and thirsty beasts. If we're just nothing but a beast like Nebuchadnezzar, we'll be satisfied with that water that comes from heaven. Or it's going to be hard words. It's going to be hard water. It's going to be frozen. It's going to be hail. It's going to be cold and rigid and unbending, hurtful, angry, exceeding great hail. Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 2, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. The one, we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other, a savor of life unto life. The exact same thing goes out of Moses' mouth, and there's going to be some people there grit their teeth and be so mad they can't stand it, and there's going to be some other people say, this is great. And then Paul says, who's sufficient for these things? Can you explain that? The exact same thing went out. And to some, it's going to be a blessing, and some's going to make them mad. And they'll say, that's hard. Hard. The Lord preached. And they said, boy, he's got hard sayings. Hard sayings. And he turned to them 12 and said, you going to go too? That ain't hard to us. Grace has come out of his lips. It's poured out. He's the king. We're the bride. Where am I going to go? I'm going to be with you. To whom shall we go? Peter answered. To whom? What a thing. This warning of judgment in Egypt, it's what preachers were doing then and what they're still doing. Everybody born of Adam come into this world offending a holy, sovereign, almighty God, and there's a wage that's been earned, and that wage is death. We got problems. People's worried about November, thinking we might have problems. Let me tell you something. Take this whole world away, we got problems. We're a needy people. This race of Adam's got a need. One need. One man. And there's two responses to that gospel going out. That all flesh is grass. No, you ain't that good. Somebody's got to tell you. We're at war with God, and he's holy, and he's going to save some people. He's gracious, and he's going to get all the glory for it. You didn't accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You get a little bit of glory out of that. I chose him in time. No, he saves his people. He shall save his people from their sins. He's going to get all the glory. There's two responses. There's belief, and there's unbelief. There's humility and there's anger. That's it. Look at verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh. Now, he ain't talking about Goshen, is he? This is in Pharaoh's house. Just like in Caesar's house, isn't it? He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. God said he's going to send big old bowling ball size of hail down and kill everything that's out in the field. And then the people said, oh, hey, get my servants and get my cattle. We're going inside. Why didn't it punch through the roofs? I don't know. Ask God. But he said, get in that house and you'll be fine. There's going to be some people safe in another house here soon, isn't it? A couple more plagues from now. You get underneath that blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Ain't bothering that. He's out in the field. And they feared the word of the Lord. What's the word of the Lord? Well, we're awful privileged, aren't we? We have this physical word. This is what he said. This is what he's given us. And we have Christ. The word. Capital W word. He that feared Christ. the Christ of the Lord. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, they did something. They made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And here's the other response. He that regarded, the Hebrew word is set not his heart unto. My head's, I think it's going to come down tomorrow. But their heart wasn't set to it. There's a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge. I ain't worried about people's heads. I'm worried about people's hearts. You get that? He that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Do you see the difference there? The word went out, and the word was feared, and the word was not regarded. That's the only two outcomes. There's no sitting on the fence. To say, well, that's something interesting. I'll go home and think about that. You're not regarding the word of God. It hadn't melted your heart. He said, I'll send my word. It'll melt them. You talk about there's going to be water from heaven that's going to give us life, and he's going to take the insides of their heart, and it's just going to be burning. Oh, man, burn inside of them. Like those two of the road of Emmaus. They said, well, he spoke. Didn't our hearts just burn inside of us? Boy, that gets me. This is wonderful. He is on his throne, and he did tell us, and I'm his child. This is good. Tax man's coming and going to audit your place tomorrow morning from the IRS. Who cares? It's his tax man. So what? Take everything I got. I got him. Give me Christ or else I die. Is that our attitude? We've got to check a block on Sundays and Wednesdays. He's life, isn't he? This ain't a doctor, it's a person. It's life. You know how do you know who believed the word and who didn't believe the word? Can you tell that? Can I tell that? Two simple verses, isn't it? He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle all in his charge flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. If you told me that there's a room full tomorrow, I'm going to be down here for a fire guy to come by. If you said tomorrow at 9 a.m., this room's going to be completely full of rattlesnakes. If I believed you, let me tell you something. I ain't coming in this room. I ain't. Now, if you told me if I was starving to death, if I hadn't ate in 4 days, and you said tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., there's going to be a free buffet of the best filet mignon you ever had in your life and vegetables and everything you like is going to be in this room, dessert too. I'm going to come in this room at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, ain't I? Now, I know it's elementary. Stay with me. If a person says they believe the gospel, they love the Lord Jesus Christ, they love their brethren, and they rarely miss a church service where Christ is honored, would you believe that person what they told you, that they love Christ? That they got their cattle and their servants in the shed? They did what the Lord said? Would you believe them? Well, I would. Now, if a person says they believe the gospel, they love the Lord Jesus Christ, they love the brethren, and they rarely attend a service where Christ is honored, would you believe that person when they told you that they love and trust the Master? Don't match up, does it? Don't match up. Turn over to James chapter 2. People take James and whip folks with it, but this is, James had a good handle on it, buddy, I tell you. We'll compare scriptural scripture and you see. You got Hebrew, James, and Peter. James chapter 2. Verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren? Talk about compassion. He's calling them brethren. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you shall say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? If somebody's come to me and said, Kevin, I ate in 4 days, I'm starving to death. And I say, go away, filled, my child. You got a hamburger? I don't need your words. I need some food. I need rice put in this belly. We understand this, don't we? Even so, faith. You get that? Same thing with faith. If it hath not works, is dead being alone. What we look at last hour? Faith looks to Christ. It walks with him, doesn't it? Leans on him. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. How do I know that them servants of Pharaoh believed the word of God? They heeded it. Lord said, get your cattle and get out of here. They got their cattle and they left. Well, that offended their neighbor. I don't care. I'm not worried about offending my man, natural man. I'm worried about offending God. I could do things and make things people happy. I ain't worried about making people happy. I'm worried about making God happy. Now his people's going to be happy about it. Who's sufficient for those things? Same thing Paul said, wouldn't it? Verse 19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe, and they tremble. They tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. That's what a friend would do, wouldn't it? What you said. I got a friend, and he made me the executor of his estate. And he said, whenever I die, this is what I want done with all my stuff. He didn't have any children, didn't have a spouse, nothing like that. And he said, when I die, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I want you to do. Can he trust that I do what he asked? Well, he's my friend. Even an enemy died, and they said, well, my last will and testament is to have, I don't know, be buried with a Cadillac or something. People will do it. They will. Verse 24. You see then how that by works a man's justified, not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out the other way? That great act of faith. She lied to the government officials. Said, these are God's men. Go. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What a thought. You can look at things. If things are probable, if they're possible, probable, and who profits, right? I've heard crazy things. People say that they believe in if you baptize an infant, they're saved forever. You don't believe that. You can get a fire truck and drive up down the road and spray everybody. if the act of putting water on somebody would send somebody to heaven, well, I'd be like that guy with a thing of water, I'd be sprinkling anybody I'd get my hands on. Walk around with a squirt gun, doesn't it? If I thought somebody was staging a conspiracy against mankind is going to ruin my family by spraying junk in the air, my kids are going to get sick, get cancer, and die by 30. Move to where they don't fly planes. If I truly believe that, there's going to be an action. There's going to be a response to God's ability. That's responsibility, isn't it? That's so. Remember, too, those servants of Pharaoh, they've already seen 6 plagues on Egypt. And each time, except for plague 3 and 6, they've been warned by Moses, the word of the Lord. And they knew 6 out of 6 times what God said came to pass. They did. You that believe, are you amazed that there's a time you didn't believe? I do. How did I not believe? You know how many, I sat underneath 1,000 gospel messages and didn't care, slept them. I'd pinch the inside of my thigh to try to stay awake. And I'd get my fingers wet with spit and rub it on my eyes, try to open my eyes up so Henry didn't take me in the back and talk to me after for sleeping through the sermons. He was preaching Christ. What was wrong with me? How did I not believe? When the Lord was rejected at Nazareth, he said, it says in Mark 6:6, he marveled because of their unbelief. I don't see how anybody could not be excited and want to hear the word of God and want to be like Christ and want to understand his statutes and just engulf our thoughts with him day in and day out. Can you believe when the Lord is pleased, he can take one who had no life in him, no belief, no faith, only unbelief, and make that one have great faith? I know he did it. You know he did it. He done it in us. He said in Matthew 8, when Jesus heard, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. And that centurion said, you just say it and it's done. You say my servant's healed and he'll be healed. I said, boy, what amazing faith. What great faith. What does that make me and you ask for? Those apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. What's the context? Everybody says 2 or 3 gathered together. That's context of rebuking somebody. What's the context of increasing our faith? They said, you forgive your brother 70 times 7. Somebody comes to you and says, I want to be forgiven. You forgive them. And they didn't say, Lord, increase our patience. They said, Lord, increase our faith. We have to believe Christ to do that. God told Moses to get after it. Look back there in our text. He gave the warning. Those that believed the warning acted accordingly. And those that didn't believe the warning kept doing what they was doing. Business as usual. And he said, Moses, do it. And so he did. Verse 24, Exodus 9:24. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, except it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. The hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. What a thought. There's destruction, isn't it? If I was an Egyptian, and you believe God, you believe the word of God, what's them Egyptians wear? I'm going to dress like them. Or the Israelites, what do they wear? I'm going to dress like them. I'm going to get down there in Goshen. If I could touch the hem of their garment, huh? We'd be concerned about these things. Here's a hellfire confession. This is not a heart work. Well, that's just, I hate hellfire and brimstone preaching. I think this time we need it more than we've ever needed it in this nation. The ship's sinking. Somebody needs to tell them plainly, as boldly and clearly as possible. But with that, with those hellfire compressions, some people can just be scared into saying yes. When somebody goes through a great trial of their life, then they start going to church, don't they? And then I don't get too excited about that as I used to. I've seen it happen too many times, because then when prosperity comes back, when comfort comes back, when that pain subsides, what do? Go right back out in the field. They go back to doing what they was doing. Here Pharaoh says in verse 27, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned. Catch it? This time. I think what I did yesterday was wrong. I sinned this time. Did he come and say, I ain't nothing but sin? God help me. Don't call me Pharaoh. Call me Tom or whatever his name was. I don't know. He said, I've sinned this time. That's just a Scotia 11, isn't it? Can somebody point that out to us? Will God send somebody to teach us what these scriptures mean? I have sinned this time. And it goes on. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. We've done wrong. God's righteous. Entreat the Lord. You pray, Moses. Entreat the Lord, for it's enough. It's enough if you do it. I don't have to do it. Is that parentheses in your Bible says for it is enough? It's enough if you do it. I don't have to. I'll hire you to do it for me. Entreat the Lord that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. This wasn't Moses' first rodeo, was it? He met a couple people in his life. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I'm gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. I'm going to do this not for you. I'm going to do this so that you know God's on his throne. He just sent me. I'm just a messenger. I'm an ambassador. I'm an errand boy. But you're going to know God's on his throne. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not fear the Lord God. How did he know that? He just said it. What's in the heart comes out of the mouth. Oh, I've sinned this time. And I don't need to pray to God. You pray. No, Moses looked at him and said, no, you pray to God. You done it my side. He's the one you offended. That's the only one you've sinned against. You can't hire me to do it for you. You pray to God. And he said, I know that you will not fear the Lord God. Verse 31, and the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the wax was boiled. It was all ready for harvest. It was strong. It was great. There's real two verses here we can learn a lot from. Everything, it was standing strong, and it was tried by the wind. And we're tough. And we've been through a lot of storms before. I had corn lay over. I watered it too much, and the first little bit of wind come by, it laid clean over. It didn't drive roots down. It says, we're strong, we're tried, we're tough. We've been through it. We've weathered a lot of storms. God crushed it. What didn't he crush? Verse 32, but when the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were grown up. The wheat and the rye, they weren't smitten. They were little. They were not grown up. Mankind has religious practices that men will look at that more than they'll look at the one that saves us from that. But that's all right, I guess. And they have the age of accountability. Right? There's an age of accountability. There is an age of accountability. I don't know what that is. And if somebody tells you they know, I wouldn't listen to them. But it does not affect the word of God going forth. Tell them plainly, tell them often. Well, they ain't old enough to hear. Yes, they are. Tell them. I don't know when that is. But these small, weak wheat and the wheat rye, they weren't smitten. That's a good picture we have. I'll send it to you, that article Bruce had this week. It's a comfort knowing, like we read of David, he said, my son's gone, He said, he can't come back to me, but I can go to him. So we have a confidence that small babies and those things, the unborn, that's the Lord's children. That is. Well, who preached? I don't know. It's his business. John the Baptist come forth from the womb with the Holy Ghost, didn't he? He was in there kicking and every time Elizabeth would get close to Mary. That's so. But even with all the abortions and the murders and all that stuff going on, it's horrible. I don't support it. It's wrong. And I'll tell people it's wrong. I got people mad at me because I told them it's wrong, but it is. God said so. It's murder. But knowing even in all that, in that wretchedness, Lord's stocking his house full. That wheat and that rye, it wouldn't stand on its own 2 feet. It wasn't saying it was proud and strong. And the Lord said, it ain't grown up. I ain't going to smite that. That gives me comfort. We have a child to Sarah, don't we? It gives me comfort. It don't scare me. It makes me happy. Verse 33, and Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more. He said he'd only sinned once. He ain't quit, has he? This is more. He heard that word. He said, this is the seventh time these plagues have took place. The sixth or fifth time Moses come and talk to him about it. Talk to him after, I'm sure. He sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. They walked hand in hand. Those that supported him did the same thing. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Just as God taught. God gave Moses those words to tell him. He did. We've heard the warning of God's judgment today. May come tomorrow. Get in the house of God. Get in Christ, the ark, and beg God to take you out of Egypt, to bring you up out of this Moab, and put you in his Son. And believe him. Don't be unbelieving. Have faith. Faith's trusting him. And saying, he did it. He's going to do everything he says. And rejoicing in him. What a precious thing it'd be if the Lord would do that for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these warnings. Lord, make us think on things above. And not be distracted by what's going on around us in this world. And in providence, Lord. Make us see that it ain't just our crops and our animals that's going to die. Lord, those apart from Christ will be crushed under him, but break us on that rock. Give us humble and contrite hearts that are smitten in love and taken with Christ, and that we must have him and be where he is and be made like him, and he is our all. Thank you for this. Thank you for calling out your people, Lord, and faithful and your Son to your word. And we have joyful hearts and content. Be with those that you've yet to call out, Lord, and draw them in. Give them a new creation in them. Make them born again as you said you would. And let us rejoice with them and honor Christ for doing so. It's because of him we ask it. Amen.